Good morning, everybody. This is Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am honored and privileged to have with me today one of the most transparent, I hate that word because it's used all the time, and most of the people that use it are liars. But this guy really is. I think the world of him. I really do, and I have since he was a rep. He's a solid guy. He's paid his dues coming up from childhood to now, and he's as solid as a rock, and he's my kind of politician. He's the new, well, he's the younger, well, he's the living version of Sil Conti. So, his name is Paul Mark. Good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm all right. I say I got the payphone booth to prove it coming up. Thanks, you know.
they're not that easy to come by.
No, they're not.
They're collector's items now. And where was I the other day? And I saw one, and I said, the guy said, I'll part with the kids before I'll part with them.
One of my very good friends worked in the payphone department, as did I, but he predated me and he stayed after I left. And unfortunately, we lost him last year, and the family sold the house, and he had that in the garage. And they're like, will you take it? I'm like, yeah, thank you. And I said, I'll put it here, and it'll be like a tribute to him. So Joe Floyd, that phone booth is there in tribute.
Well, good. And, you know, I think we're all too, not that this guy anything to do, but my father said they will curse the day they tore this train station down. Mm-hmm. And I think his wisdom, because it was a beautiful building, and what other cities have done with their old Union train stations is amazing. So,
yep.
So listen, nothing going on much in Boston, right?
Yeah, another quiet day. It's pretty.
But the budget, where's that at?
Yeah, the budget's in one of the most important opening stages right now. The House put out their initial version, and as we sit here today, next week, so probably when this is airing, the House will be conducting their debate. So those will be the days that they're down in session, go till midnight. They'll go over hundreds of line items, over a thousand amendments have been filed.
Wow. And
yeah, it's a lot to consider, and it's very time consuming, as it should be. And when they're considering it this year, we're in a little tighter picture than we were, even though I'll say since the last time you and I talked, the last 2 months revenue tracking has actually done better, has been meeting expectations. So hopefully a 6 month slide is ending would be really great and would be really helpful. And they've got a lot to do down there during the week. And then as soon as they've stamped their final product, then we dig in, the Senate digs in and try to fix what people think didn't go so well, try to support what people think did go well. And, you know, by July 1st or thereabouts, we'll have a final budget for the whole state, hopefully.
Well, I don't envy any of you because I've been watching the Pittsfield City Council and the school committee. And I mean, they're talking, I don't want to say draconian cuts, but darn close.
It reminds me of
when the Polish princess got laid off 10 years as a teacher and got laid off 2.5. I transferred from Lanesboro to Pittsfield. I was only here about 5 years. And I got called upstairs, and Sankwood says, well, it looks like I'm going to have to lay 13 people off. You're the last one in. You're the first one out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but we took preemptive steps. Roseanne knew she was off. I figured I'd be off. So an opportunity came up, and we moved to Arizona, and things worked out, you know, for the best.
Yeah, it's been, as you're saying, I don't want to say traumatic. It's been distressing to watch, not just Pittsfield. There's been a number of school districts in the area that they are facing a little more challenging times, I guess is the kind and respectful way to say it. And hopefully there won't be any serious cuts to anything long term. Hopefully good teachers won't be losing jobs. I know on the Pittsfield side specifically, there was some kind of a little error about how many students they had to meet a certain criteria, and
That
great
was a pretty
effort.
big error.
Yeah, I was gonna say great effort by school committee superintendent, by Tricia, by the mayor. I've been peripherally helping. I don't jump in and take credit for things other people have been done, but I've been there to be supportive, and it seems to be in a much better place. And so, assuming it gets through the House next week, then on the Senate side, that'll be my job, is now to make sure that that proper level is what stays there, and that's what we're going to do.
Kristen Behnke is the financial guru of the, and she found it. And you know, I mean, it's always tough. I don't care. I just I guess the thing, and I got Congressman Neal coming on next week, and I'm going to ask him. You know, they put all this money into these. I can't remember the name of the positions in the schools to help kids reacclimate after COVID. And that, now the money's gone.
ESSER is the name for that funding.
And the thing is, I just heard this 2 weeks ago. Either a third or fourth grader, this is their first year in a brick and mortar school building.
For the full year. Yeah, that sounds good.
And so let's not cut this premium. Of course, the federal budget is, what are these, 37 gabillion in the hole or whatever. I got to get a job like that. Get a printer down here, print up cash. No, I feel badly for the people involved, from the people that will be laid off to the people who have to lay them off because it's traumatic on them.
That's true. And then if students were getting a significant benefit, you don't want the negative repercussions of losing those positions. So I mean, yeah, we're trying to work together, federal, state, city, to try to minimize any impact and try to get people back on solid footing. And again, like I said, it's happening in Pittsfield, it's happening all over. So it's not great.
And you know, let me just say this to the listeners and the viewers. I applaud Senator Mark. He's a stand-up guy. When he was in the House, he stood up for us, for his clientele and his constituents, I guess. And now he's in the Senate. Of course, he's got what, 30 or 40 more towns, but now, not a big deal. But all kidding aside, I believe in what he does and how hard he works. And he may not always win because, you know, there's a bunch of other people down there. But this is going to be probably, would you say this is going to be one of your toughest budget years since you
No, actually, no. It's gonna be tough compared to the last four or five. Yes, and no. What thank this is gonna sound hard, maybe to understand. In spite of places like Pittsfield being in a position where they might have to lay off, and that has a lot to do with those one-time revenues, and unfortunately not continuing those from the federal government. But all in all, we're looking at a state budget that is going to be mostly level or small increases. So for me, especially in the district, and I have the map, I'll show you the map after the break of the district, where there's so much need and we're constantly trying to get as much money for my district out of the pie, because like you said, we're not like we have a finite amount of money and it has to be balanced. So always trying to get at least our share. It's going to be tough, but it's not going to be. I've been in budgets where there were cuts coming out of this stage. So you were lucky if you got a 2% cut. And those are tough times. That was I came into office immediately after that giant recession, 2008, 2009.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And so the budget year 2011, fiscal year 12, those were really tight years. Yeah. And especially as a first term representative, it was not great. And thankfully we're not there. And people have been asking me, there's an $8 billion stabilization fund that we still have in place. Yeah. And we're very guarded with that. We're very cautious with that. That's why it's in such good standing. We probably don't have to tap into it. So it's still there. So if, God forbid, things do continue to trend the wrong way or get worse or unexpected expenses show up, we have the stability to be able to ensure that there's not going to be a sudden massive cut in services. We should be able to avoid that. And we're not there anyway.
Right.
But saying comparatively is like, no, out of this will be budget 14. This is probably the ninth worst, maybe the 10th worst. So, the 10th worst. Yeah.
Wow. I forgot you've been in office that long.
Everyone is.
I know. Wow. Well, I mean, I should have realized because your beard's turning gray.
Well, even
I tell people it's not gray, it's blonde.
It used to be blonde and red, and it's turning gray. But I was going to say, even with Smitty leaving and the four people that I know of that are running to replace him, I will still be the youngest person, still the youngest member. Delegation. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we're proud of you. I know that. There's so much going on, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask the immigrant crisis. How will that affect us?
It's impacting the state budget because the governor. So I think we've discussed this before, but just in case people haven't seen. Massachusetts is the only state that for a family, you have a right to shelter, as they call it. So if you show up and you have children, they don't have to sleep on the streets. We will find a place to stay. When the normal shelters get to like a capacity, they start using some of the hotels, which isn't the greatest situation. Ideally, it's for a few weeks, a few months, and then people normally get back on their feet or new, more permanent housing becomes available. For the first time that I am aware of in the history of this program, which is about 40 years old, Governor Healey declared we're at the limit. No one ever knew what the limit was. And she's declared that the limit is 7,500 families. So we have been at that capacity. And the funding for that has been between $500 million and $1 billion. So the problem there is, again, where we have to have a balanced budget, that means $500 million to $1 billion that was going to be planned for longer term investments or whatever else is now taken. Whether this is what I was saying with the rainy day fund.
Yeah.
We don't spend that rainy day fund money haphazardly because when something very unexpected like this happens, and notwithstanding our delegation in Washington doing the best they can and Washington is what it is, there has not been assistance coming for a problem when we're talking about the migrants that is a federal problem. And so we're receiving people, and it's all over the country, of course, and the ones we're receiving here are people escaping horrendous situation in Haiti. They have legal status and they're coming here. But it is stretching state and city budgets. And like you said, we don't have the printer to print more money. So we got what we got. And it's also important to say, though, of the 7,500 in the system, at least half, probably slightly more than half, is long-term Massachusetts residents.
Oh, wow. I'm not one to throw stones. I was in Haiti when Billy Clinton put President Aristide in. That's how long ago that was. But and it was no garden spot then. And I don't mean that to be derogatory. I want people to understand there are legitimate refugees in this massive migration of human beings. And I think there's others, too. But the others seem to be getting the play, the news media play.
Yeah.
But there are legitimate, anybody that can get out of Haiti with what's going on there now, get out.
Yeah, and it was a good email. It was respectful, an email discussion I had with a gentleman from Dalton, and he was discussing the status of whoever's here, and it's they have legal status, whether whether as a matter of policy this individual thought they should or not. Sure, that's only the federal government makes immigration law. And so then there was a discussion, and we had a discussion on the Senate floor as well about residency requirement. And under the Constitution, as it has been interpreted by the Supreme Court, if you legally are in any state, whether you're a natural born citizen, a naturalized citizen, or someone that has a legal status, if I move from Massachusetts tomorrow to Vermont, I get to take advantage of everything that Vermont has, and vice versa. So we can't constitutionally set in a 6 months before you get benefits. What we have done for the first time, and the final details are being worked out, probably by the time this airs, it might be law. We're putting a limit on how long you can stay. And so that's never existed before. And then the governor, Healy, Maura Healy, unilaterally has the power. She's now making, for the first time, it has to go through an application process every month. So it's going to be, we're at capacity. So it's going to be more strict maybe than it's ever been before. And that's the power we have to work something.
Well, and I got to tell you, I won't tell you who, but one of your, not your colleagues, but called me a grumpy old man, which is probably true. But I have a place in my heart, and I've traveled the world in all kinds of situations, from the war in Vietnam to, other places. And I've seen refugees, and the loss of everything that you were familiar with, that you own, and I listen, I can already see the emails coming out. Text, what are you, Mother Teresa? No, she had hair. but no, I also think that those in power need to step up, and I don't mean politicians, but I mean in the security and safety world, need to step them, and let's get these bad guys.
Yeah.
Don't wait for them to do something. And I applaud, listen, I applaud the governor. I mean, she's taken some, let's say, should we say, perhaps unpopular, but that's leadership. And that's what we don't need wishy-washy today. We need decision makers, and that's why I'm glad to hear you guys are doing all that stuff. You're not just taking it.
If it gets up to $5 billion a year, we can't afford it. That's where under the Constitution, the national government has the authority to set this type of policy, and they have a responsibility to then make sure that they're paying for what they are allowing. And again, I try not to be political on this either, as you really don't. There was an agreement that was in place, and then it fell apart because of political reasons, and that's a shame,
Yeah, yeah. I will say this, because I don't think you play the game. I think you're. From what I know of you in the years we've been, God, you've been in office a long time. Did I have hair when you first started? I could have. But
I didn't have a beard yet.
no, I know, and I got a note here from your mother. Shave beard, get a haircut. There are politicians, and there are individuals who are in politics. And I and they're not there for themselves. They're there for their constituents. And I put you in that category. I put Smitty Barrett in that. I mean that. They're in it. I mean, in fact, the other day I actually went down to Stockbridge, and I had lunch at the Red Lion Inn. I treated this friend of ours who turned 90. And I went without even getting permission from Smitty in the stock. I didn't stay long. I got out about an hour. But I applaud you, Paul. I applaud the delegation as a whole. These are tough times for a lot of people.
I was talking to someone. They I just had a Zoom earlier, and they were talking about visiting here from Switzerland, of all things, and that when they used to come to the United States, they used to think, wow, we're getting a bargain. And she was surprised. I think she was here in the last summer. The prices were significantly different. And mostly we were talking about in a college context. I think it's Vanderbilt down in Tennessee. And they're going to be the first college undergraduate, 1 year, $100,000 for tuition. I mean, I can't believe that's real. I mean, I'm sorry. Even if it
That's
was
why,
Harvard,
that's why I went to BCC.
Exactly.
That
UMass was pretty good.
and the worst GI Bill ever written for any group of people, where it didn't cover your tuition at BCC. So, but yeah, I think that's really that's something that the whole world has to, or the educational world and the political world, and are going to have to take a hardcore look. The lady, and I, God love her, I'm glad she's making it. The president of Harvard got demoted, still making $1 million a year as a teacher.
Wow, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's correct. If not, if correct me. But yeah, no, I think we have to, all of us have to look and tuck our pull our belts a little bit tighter. I know the we used to go to BJ's like every Saturday or Sunday, and we ran between 150 and 165 or 70. Well, now it's 230, 240, and we don't buy anything extravagant or new, So, but inflation is definitely an issue.
It's an issue. I think it's going to be a national campaign issue for sure. And depending on, like, I think things are starting to level off. But depending on what it is, and if you didn't get a raise in the last 3 years, what you just said, you go into the grocery store and it costs 50% more. That means 50%. You're cutting that somewhere else, because if you don't have anything extra, then that's the way it is. And it's tough.
So we've talked about the what other than that immigration that that can drain the what do you think financially will be the challenges for the state? You're saying incoming revenues are up, so that's good.
Yeah, they're getting back on track, so hopefully that'll stay. When we explored a bit, like, why revenue was down, what we were hearing was it was actually the sales tax was down. So then the question became, was that happening because so many people working remotely, especially in like the city areas, were no longer going, into their jobs, so they weren't going downtown, they weren't shopping. So maybe as more people are being asked to come back at least a couple days a week, maybe that'll is why things are leveling off. Because we and again, it had to do with the Supreme Court again. We changed that. Now Amazon and whoever they pay a sales tax if they're doing a lot of business in the state. It's not like you used to have an actual storefront. Now it's no, you're doing business here. So like that's working out. And then housing is the next big thing. And we're working right now on a $4 billion housing bill. So trying to both incentivize housing growth, keep people in their houses now that are having problems. Like you said, if suddenly your rent went up 20%, you might need a little assistance to bridge you through. And then trying to actually produce new housing, and in the rural area, I'll show you the map.
I want to see it because I've heard of these towns. I've never seen them.
Oops,
But
there
it is. That's Senator Mark's district, and of course, if you know the format of the state, that's about half.
Yeah,
right. The footprint of the state, that's about half.
It's bigger than the state of Rhode Island. We're the 49th state right here.
That's it. And I think it, going back and just saying it, going back to the schools, and my father, God rest his soul, said there's two things you can do. You got to be a good person, a moral person, and make sure you get your kids the best education they can get. So, I know we have a lot of things and a lot of projects and a lot of this, but boy, I think you're a wonderful product of it, actually. I mean, for those people who don't know, Senator Mark has a PhD, and we don't hold this against him, he's also a lawyer.
He just looks goofy. He's actually kind of not that bad.
We tried to have him go into the priesthood over legal, but he said no, I'm gonna be a lawyer. No, but all kidding aside, so when you look at things, you look at it with a kind of a wide view, from your education, your PhD, but also from a legal point of view,
and from the point of view of
John Mary six pack, like me.
Yeah, I was going to say the phone thing we're laughing about, but like I'm sitting here, I'm on Tyler Street, and I'm thinking back to like working on Merrill Road underground doing phone company stuff, and it's a good blend. I think I appreciate that the people of the region seem to think so, and so thank you for that. And it's just the district itself. So Pittsfield's one of the gateway cities. It's real city issues.
Yeah,
real city benefits as well. And then I have a town, Monroe, with 120 people. And then I have suburban places like Lenox and Dalton. And then we had everything in between. I mean, so it's North Adams, small city, Southwick, almost as big as North Adams, but it's a town. It's a bedroom of Hartford, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Like a very, very wide array of diverse ethnicity, diverse geography, diverse economic status, different situations of life. And so, you take all of that, and when it's school, well, what does a city like Pittsfield need versus what is a really small town of 350 people? Like, how do they stay afloat?
Yeah.
And talking about housing, like, if a developer can do 50 units in Pittsfield, they're going to go like, quick. They're gonna be scooped up.
Right.
You can't do that 50 units in Monroe. And then or Savoy. And then even if you could, they don't have running water. So you need septic, you need wells.
These are
things like we had the lieutenant governor out and talked to her. She was in the town of Goshen. She's like, why don't you build here? It's like, there's no water. It's a lot to think about.
I think what I've always admired about you personally and the delegation is you haven't forgot where you came from.
Yeah.
And I say that about Congressman Neal all the time. I mean, he's been dying. He's a power broker in D.C., but he never forgot he came from Hungry Hill. I mean, you have to admire people like that. I had the good fortune of, in the mid-80s, of spending some time, or maybe misfortune or good, some kind of a fortune, on Capitol Hill. And you could identify the people players. You know, even back then, I mean, now there's more of the other side. I can't wait for a camera. But I just think when we go to the polls, I've always done this. I'm not my mother and father are dying old Democrat. I'm an independent, and I truly am an independent. I vote for the United States government. I'm not taking any calls from them. That could be dangerous. I'm not going back into service. I don't care what you say. But I vote for the person. What's your track record? Why do you want office? And I like Pittsfield because there isn't city council, mayor. There's no, you're not Republican or Democrat.
Yep.
And I kind of like that.
I think it's good at the city level. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Only one state that does it that way, Nebraska. Nebraska's nonpartisan. Yeah.
Well, all I know is that when I see the goings on, I'm into the Big Bang Theory now, repeats. It makes more sense than the news, you know. We're going to take a break. I'm here with Senator Paul Mark. I will say this. He's a straight shooter. If he tells you it's looking good, it's looking bad, we don't know, it's still up in the air, you can take that to the bank. Because he doesn't make up stuff for the radio or for the television. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. I really am happy and honored to have Senator Mark with us. I think he's a stand-up guy. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. I am here today with Senator Paul Mark, someone I have a great deal of respect for. I think I was probably one of your first radio TV interviews. Yep. Back how many years ago now?
2010.
I can't believe
that. It seems like yesterday, but now it's
yeah. And he was a state rep, and he did a wonderful job. He brought rural transportation for the schools. He brought money to rural schools. We have a delegation, and let me just say this, and I know some of you, I'll hear from some of you, but if it wasn't for the current delegation we have, in my humble opinion, and everybody knows the views and opinion expressed on the show are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the mayor's office, Peter White in the City Hall, and or the guy trying to ride his bicycle up Bull Hill Road in Lanesboro. It's sincere stuff. It's real stuff. And if they go down there, and we would not have gotten what we have gotten, and I truly, honest believe that from my heart, because they stick together and they play. And you got to remember, I've had cousins in Boston. They got to, you know, and I've told you this before. The first one is a priest. The second one is a cop. And the third one is a politician. So there you go. And there's one on every corner in Boston. Fortunately, Paul Mark has almost three quarters of the state for his district. This deal that all the – and you were – and I asked this very sincerely. You worked the census. Yeah. When you're in the house.
Yep.
Is there validity to what they're reporting by saying all these people that are coming to this place and that place, and they'll be counted in those areas census, even though they're not citizens?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that doesn't matter. Because I don't think it ever has mattered, actually.
Okay.
The only time I can think of that someone is excluded, it's in the Constitution, and it was changed originally. I'm using their words, not mine. Indians not taxed. So Native American tribes that were not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and did not pay taxes to the United States or the state, they were not counted for the purposes of the census, because they didn't vote, because they were considered part of different nations, as it were.
Right.
But then that changed, boy, 100 years ago. So no, if you're here for school, so you're here on a student visa from another country, or even if you're from Michigan and you're at UMass, you're supposed to fill out the census at UMass, because that's where you are the day of the census. April 1st? Well, I can't believe I remember that now. I think it's April 1st. It's been 4 years.
Oh, I know. Hey, I forgot where I parked the car and I just got here.
But yeah, so that was part of the effort we undertook, was to make sure that the census in Massachusetts, I think everywhere, Massachusetts, we highlighted it that the call-in numbers were available in 12 different languages.
Wow.
And we wanted people that were here, because regardless of why they're here, we need to get the resources for them, because they're using the services and they're driving on the roads, they're going to school, all of that. So we count every person in the country. That's the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because rumors, for lack of a better term, is that they're dumping a lot of people in like Miami, Florida, and Texas, trying to change the voting piece. And you know, I don't know if it's true or not. All I know is that from my old life, there's some bad people here now. I can remember years ago when the Mariel boat people came over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they all weren't poor people. We had a situation, and this young man was a tall, handsome kid, young kid, blonde hair, blue eyes. And his mother was from Argentina, and his father was German. And he spoke and understood and read perfect Spanish. So we put him down in the cell block with the Mariel boat people, and they could never figure out how we were figuring out their schemes, because he could understand what they were saying, and they look at him and say, oh, he can't understand.
Right.
You know, you hear the stories, but I just think we as a nation, we have to, I don't want to go too far foot here, but we have to first protect ourselves and our own people, and then accept the people who want to come in and play by our rules.
This is what's good about like the people from Haiti. And I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but I know I've talked to people. I had the chance to go to, when I turned 40, I went to Italy and I went to Sicily, where my family, half my family came from. And they came from Messina area.
Okay.
And when I was there, they kept telling me about the giant tsunami. So there was an earthquake underwater, and I think over 100,000 people died and leveled the city.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, a lot of things made sense. It happened right about the year before my family on that side came to the United States.
Wow. So
they were essentially refugees fleeing a horrendous thing. And I never really put it together. And then I remembered, unfortunately, my father's not with us. I remembered him. My great grandmother was alive in my lifetime and spoke Italian. She could understand English, and she probably knew English, but she spoke Italian. And anyway, she was saying something to him about the big wave. And it's like, oh, wow, that's what she's talking about. Yeah, crazy. So, like, anyway, the point is, all of us aren't probably that disconnected from
being
in the same situation as these people from Haiti, you know?
Irish relatives, they came over and they worked in the mills, and they weren't always welcomed. Other nationalities didn't want Irish. And when my wife's family came over, they're Polish. They were the same. So I think some of us need to, some of us need to just step back and do an assessment of we're lucky. I was born here. I'm lucky. And I've had the fortune of being all over the world, seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly of all places. And I know this sounds like a cliche, but America is the best country in the world. You blame somebody if you're living in Brazil and you're afraid of the gangs, or Haiti where they're shooting people. What they call that one guy, barbecue, because he lights people on fire. I'd probably get out of there too.
Yeah. No, we're very. I think we often take for granted how lucky we are here, and
I think so.
Yeah.
Is the funding for the state colleges going to be cut or reduced?
I hope not. I don't think so. I know there's the new program at the community colleges that if you're 25 or older, you hadn't finished your degree, you come back for free. It's amazing. That's big to my heart. I said, like, my father could have taken advantage of that. I could have. Luckily, I got it from the phone company, so I didn't need to. So that's big to make sure people are getting the skills they need to be successful,
and
the jobs they want, the education they want. I hope there's not going to be.
Well, I thought I heard a blurb on one of the radio stations about UMass funding.
UMass is going to they're putting in a tuition hike. I don't think it's not to 100,000. I think it's like a 2.5. I think it's like a 2.5% increase, which is, you'd like it to not go up, of course.
Yeah.
I think that's hard in a world with, inflation that's higher than 2.5%. I think it's hard to keep that level.
Yeah. Well, I let's give credit where credit's due. Under Republican governor and a legislative body made up mostly of Democrats, they have established a healthy rainy day fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think it's probably one of the five biggest stabilization funds in the country. And I think the other states, you're talking about states with a lot of natural resources that we don't have, that we can't sell and tap into. So we do it through a lot of talent, a lot of attractiveness of our workforce and of our education system and high tech. And then we manage it. We try to manage it really well because you never know when you're going to need it.
And I really think that is a positive thing that I've said this before, and I've heard from folks, but if the federal government could run as efficiently and as effectively as the Commonwealth of Massachusetts government, then I don't think we'd be in the problems we're in.
No, I don't think we wouldn't have the national debt we have, and there'd be more consensus. And I think it used to be like that. And, in Massachusetts, we have differences, but we try to figure out what works well for the common good.
Yeah.
I think that's how it used to work. At least it seemed like it used to work. You referenced them, and I appreciate it. Massachusetts Speaker Tip O'Neill and California Governor Republican Ronald Reagan. And they found common ground where they could. I'm not saying everything they did was great, but I don't think you had the sniping like today. You had some form of collegiality, and so I will not policy wise. It's not my place to judge their policy because I'm not in Congress, but I'm going to say the new speaker, who is like the completely unexpected speaker, and I think had no experience to be qualified to be speaker. I will give him that he seems to put ahead of the nonsense.
Yeah,
we're not gonna default on our debts. The government's not gonna shut down, and making sure services are running. And he's doing it at the expense of people from both parties, but within his own party that will try to take his job away from him.
They already are. Yeah.
Right. So like,
I mean,
you have to give, I think that's something that's lacking, is not giving credit to someone that maybe philosophically I disagree with.
Right.
Who I think is doing a better job than could reasonably be expected. And I will give him that credit, you know?
I agree with you 100%. Mm. The guy, he's very smart. There's no question about that. He's very smart. He's a lawyer. Won't hold that against him. But but the grandstanding and I get to the camera first kind of thing. I think it's wrong. I for the Republicans, I would say, now is not the time. And again, this sounds awful. Some of the people there, I'm not sure, understand the process.
I agree. I agree.
Because when you have a one vote margin, you can't be slamming your fist down saying, we're not going to do that. I mean, I was there when Tip O'Neill owned the place, you know, I mean. What I like about him, and I'm sure you're familiar with this, in his book, Man of the House, I've read it like at least three times. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell young people going into politics, get that book, read mm-hmm. that book.
Yep.
That's truly what your job is going to be about. And right. The part you remember, he says, this kid comes up to him and says, you know, the whip wants me to vote for this. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And Tip says to him, what's your district think? And they don't want it. He said, son, who put you here?
Right.
The people in the district. He said, right. Then don't vote for it. I don't care.
Exactly.
What
it does.
Right. You know? Yeah. And that to me is courage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's nice to be one of the guys, one of the gang, whatever. But who put you there?
Right. And how long are they going to keep you? If you want to stay, you know, get in the fancier office, but you're against what the people who elect you think constantly. I mean, you're not going to get the fancy office and you're going to be gone.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I applaud those days. I call them the Gilded Age when I was there. They actually talked to each other. No, they did. Yep. Sometimes they, excuse me, they go out with their wives. Yeah, no, really, they did. They didn't, you used the right word, snipe. They didn't snipe at each other. So what do you think the challenges for our district is?
Oh, it's always funding. It's always having our voice heard, but it's also being connected. And so, like with the housing issue, it's about like what works. How do we make the biggest housing bill in the state history? Like, how do we make that work in every community, every region? I look at my district. I'm looking at that map again. I got six regions in my district. Like, how do I make it work for everyone? How do we make school funding work for everyone? How do we keep economic development happening and bring job growth? And then the rail system, like we've got a lot of potential right now. And you mentioned Congressman Neal, he's doing a lot federally to make sure.
Oh yeah.
Governor, we had a good meeting with the governor a couple of weeks ago. She's starting to talk with the governor of New York. I mean, right. Seems pretty simple idea, but it's great that she's doing it. Connecting Pittsfield to both Albany and Boston eventually. I mean, it's just what makes sense. We're we got challenges, but we're at a moment where there's a lot of opportunity too. So like, as we sit here, if things go right, in 10 years, we'll be talking about how it's good times. And if we collectively squander opportunity, then it'll be stagnant. We don't want that. So, you know, it's time to take advantage.
I'm excited about the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been like the UK, they're holy Belgium, all of them, you know, that their existence is the rail.
Yep.
And I hope that goes through. I know Congressman Neal's working hard for a lot of people. I hope it doesn't lose its momentum, its impetus with Smitty leaving.
Yeah, he's the one who got the governor to call it West East Rail.
Yeah.
But no, we'll be there to pick up the slack. We're ready.
You know the story there, because his dad with the turnpike, he said,
yeah,
you started out here, because if you started in Boston, it'll never get here.
Yep, he's right. He's right.
So before we go, I just want to say, too, that there's a lot of people who watch this show, and I've heard through the grapevine and directly from folks, they enjoy having you on because they see what I see. You're not in it for, you're not, don't take this personally because your mother will get mad at me, but you're just not another pretty face.
Thank you.
She loves you. She'd love you more without the beard. But no, seriously, you're down to earth. You address the issues. And I will say this, and I for the listeners and the viewers, I always kidded him. When he was in the house, I said, you know, you got to stop getting the speaker so mad at you. Because he got redistricting. He got the census. I mean, every difficult, really difficult and responsible job he got. And he did it well. And that says a lot to me about people. I know enough about government that they don't give the pretty faces the do hard jobs. They really don't.
And it'd be easy for a rep from really small town to just hide. So they also, that means I was making myself known. They felt like,
yes,
they,
you were. But because of that, now you're in the Senate. Mm-hmm. You can get things done on the Senate side, just like you got things done on the House side. Mm-hmm. Because it's also too, we have to trust in our elected folks, especially out here.
Yep.
You know, I will always applaud Governor Deval Patrick. He brought a lot of attention to the Berkshires.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I just think that as we go forward for next month, you think we'll have a budget by next month? Well, our next interview next month.
Well, the next time we talk, we should do right after the Senate budget. So probably like the week of Memorial Day would be nice.
Just get a hold of me.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, just get a hold of me when you think it's going to go. And I can't thank you enough for all you do for all of us. And I don't speak for everybody, because I'm sure I'll hear, yeah, speak for me, you know. But I do speak for all of the people that I know who really do appreciate your candor, your honesty, and your what you do. I mean, I think of with somebody the other day, where did you bring that rural bus? What did you bring up?
the rural road funding.
Rural road funding, yeah, but also for education. What did
rural,
you bring?
There's rural school aid, regional transportation.
Yeah, yeah, few little things, yeah. But those people, if it wasn't for you, they wouldn't have it.
We like to think it's a team effort, but I appreciate that.
Well, it is a team effort, but some, you know, as the Patriots found out, it's you can have the best team in the world, but if your quarterback is enough to snuff, and there you go.
Sure.
Paul, Mark, I thank you for coming on this program. I thank you for your candor, for your honesty, And I thank you for what you try to do for the people of your district and the Commonwealth as a whole.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I'm not making any, I'm not Nostradamus, although I went to high school with him. he was pretty smart. I think we could be in for some rough times. And I think I'm confident in people like you being there to kind of weather us through those times.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that for sure. And democracy works best if people participate and believe in it. So let's all take advantage of that for sure.
You know my saying, right? Don't vote, don't gripe.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is, you know. Paul Mark, state senator, I wish you the very best. To my, if you would hang on for just 30 seconds after to go by, I want to run something by. God bless. And folks, there's enough vitriol. There's enough hatred. Today, let's try to do something nice for somebody. It can be a smile. It can be a phone call. It can be a wave. Something nice for somebody else. With that, God bless. Goodbye. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye. I think I've asked you, maybe not. Hey, I'm getting nowhere with the governor's office.
Oh, really? And no. You did. I saw you emailed and you called.
Yeah.
All right. Let me.
If you can.
Yeah, let me. I'm going to pull it up while we're sitting here because I'll forget.
You? I forgot where the car is. I'm looking around in this strange room and my wife tells me it's my office.
Asking, where is it? Here we go. Governor's schedule. I'm actually going to reply it all. I just emailed them with you on it, so.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully I'll do something.
I will just say she could use the representation out here.
Healy? Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure.
But just to be, let people hear her voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. Driscoll came out, the lieutenant governor. I did a little event in Lenox 3 weeks ago. She sat there from 9 till 1:45. You know what I mean? Like, and Healy's not. Healy should do more of that, I think, would be.
Well, okay. I'll do a Zoom, you know.
Yeah. No, sure.
Oh, come on. Yeah. She needs to be a presence here.
Yeah. That hunger. I see it in Kim Driscoll. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure you see it in your people because everybody, hey, Bill, when are you going to have the governor on? Hey, Bill, when are you going to have the governor on? You know, and I just think it'll help her. I mean, I don't need it. I'm on the way out. But I just think it certainly is not going to help.
Can't hurt. Yeah.
No, and let people hear what she's doing.
Yep.
Because the reason I bring it up again this morning, I had to run out this morning to meet this person, and that their whole thing was the GED governor and all these immigrants. She's putting them up in hotels, and I was trying to say what you said,
yeah,
law, but you know, they taught, and I'll leave you with this, my good friend. Mm-hmm. In the police academy many years ago, they taught me that you can never have a legitimate discussion with a fool or a drunk. So just make up your mind what you're going to do and do it. Well, I don't deal with a lot of drunks. Well, I deal with a lot of drunks, but I don't have to arrest them. Hmm. But when I'm with somebody who's just irrational, I just say, hey, I got to run.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Because, you know, my clock's ticking. I'm going to be 77 next week. I know I don't look it. Thanks for saying
it. Today's your birthday.
April 28th.
Oh, I'm the 26th. I think we have this talk every year, but I always forget it too.
Yeah, and don't forget, I think we've had this talk too. Our 53rd wedding anniversary will be April 24th.
Wow, that's amazing. That's right, Paul Broder's birthday. I knew that.
Yeah. 53 years of marital bliss. Hey, man, I'll let you go. Say hi to your mother for me.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for making this work. I appreciate it.
That my job is to get your face and your presence in front of the voting public. That's what I see my job with all you guys.
Yeah.
You know? And people, and I'm not BSing you here, people look forward to yours. And Smitty. And I have Barrett on. He's a beauty. But I'll leave you with this. To this day, when I have Barrett on, someone will stop me, an old radio person or a TV reporter or a new Eagle reporter, say, how do you get him to talk to you? I've known him a long time. I know him. I used to call him Papa Bear.
Yep.
Take care, bro.
See you later.